I got the bloodlust.
Me too.
I want to kill. Let's kill. 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 Kill.
Hey guys, welcome to the Bloodlust. It's your go-to podcast for classy broads and a token dude talking horror. This is episode 118. Tonight we are reviewing Possum, Matthew Holness's first full-length feature film. Joining me tonight, my name is Amy, your fearless leader. With me, everybody, Jamie, Eddie,
hello.
Kitty. What's up, guys?
We're here.
It's only one of us is queer.
That's right.
Not according to J.K. Rowling.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
We're all queer.
That's right.
Dear
well,
reader.
Who am I to argue with Jo? I'd be extra queer for her.
She appreciates that.
So, guys, listeners, we're talking about Possum. I'm very excited about it. It's a very, very disturbing movie. So we're going to start off the show with some more laughs, a little levity, quickly. I hope you guys liked our Mad Libs that we did in episode 117. We did get a little bit of feedback that it was good, that it was enjoyed.
And so we're running with it.
Yeah. So we're going to run it into the ground.
Yep.
Eddie, I hope you've been studying your forms of speech. In anticipation.
I said that's Eddie's what I like to hear. Website.
Did you?
Yes. Yes. Send me a studentsinwriters.com.
Aww, that's adorable. All right, are you guys ready?
Yep, sorry.
Yes. I assume that means you're ready now. So the topic for this one is horror movies. Very, very topical. Ain't it?
Anus.
We haven't
That's
started
the
yet,
oh,
but
okay,
you can hold on to that.
I figured I was going to get part of body.
Again. Anus tart. I'm going to start with you since you're right here.
Great.
Adjective.
Adjective. Bearded.
Oh. Like it. And kitty. Plural noun, please.
Feet.
Feet. Disgusting.
Defeat.
Eddie, adjective, please.
Fat.
Fat bearded.
I like where this is going.
Are you guys describing me?
This is true. No.
This is all a long troll. Part of the body, that will be me.
Mm-hmm.
Nips. Jamie, part of the body, singular.
Spleen.
Spleen. Ooh, we're gonna have a lot of nouns in a row here. Kitty, give me a noun, please.
I'm trying to think of a good one. Hot dog.
Hot dog.
Hot dog.
Eddie, a noun, please.
How about karate?
Oh, I guess that's a noun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure, it is. It's on my noun list.
The art of karate.
Oh, it's on your list. Yeah, we'll pronounce it karate.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
This is me again, huh? I'm going to say turd.
Oh. Classic.
Mm-hmm.
Turd Ferguson. Jamie, I need a noun from you.
Toilet seat.
Oh. Okay, Kitty, another noun.
Jesus.
Do you want it to be Jesus?
Speaker. Are you just looking around your office?
I did that time.
Yeah. I love lamp.
There's hot dogs in my office.
I wonder
too.
If that was going to be my follow up question.
That's my lunch after this.
Gross, kitty. Eddie, I need another noun.
Weed whacker.
Very specific, Ooh. Guys. I
love
like
anything
it.
With whacker in it.
Whacker. Whacker.
Whack.
I don't know what that was. Let's move on. Jamie, adjective.
Bulbousy.
I think it's just bulbous.
Yeah,
I think it's just bulbous.
Okay.
But we're going to, yeah, okay.
I like it either way.
Yeah. Did I not go?
Nope.
Oh.
Well, then you pick.
I'm not going
start
to.
Start over.
No, you got to keep bulbous.
Yeah,
no,
I'm not.
Pick the next one.
Yeah, okay. Noun for me again. Noun, let's say, Hot Pocket.
Oh.
Nice.
Delicious.
Delicious and gross sounding.
Yeah. Nature's Pocket.
Stop it. No. Don't ever say that again.
Nature's Pocket. Who's next now?
Me.
Kitty.
Kitty, I need a noun. It's our last one. Make it count.
I don't know. Kite.
Kite.
Now you're not even trying, Kitty.
Wow,
Jesus.
Yeah.
Was there a kite
in
your
office?
I
didn't look outside.
Yeah.
No.
I just wondered. It would be very whimsical if it was.
No, there's not. There's no kites outside either.
Oh, who's meowing out there? It's little Clark. I'm just going to copy these down because there's so many nouns I'm going to get them screwed up. So
I'm going to go see what Clark wants.
That was
not
a lot
at
of
the
nouns.
Door, is he?
Oh, I thought he was.
It's hard to tell.
I just heard him going round.
Letting people know he's there.
Yeah, he's a talker. Okay, guys. The results have been tallied. Let's read about horror movies by the Bloodlust. Here we go. Here is a list of the most bearded horror feet ever made in Hollywood. Each of these fat films, we should have done it with P-H-A-T, received a rating of 2 nips up.
Oh, 2 nips up.
Perfect.
Number 1, the hunch spleen of Notre Hot Dog.
I'm into it.
Number 2, the karate of the living turd. Number 3, the toilet seat of Frankenstein.
That is a horror movie.
That does sound gross. Number 4, invasion of the speaker snatchers. Sounds like
sons of bitches.
Yeah.
A movie about looting.
That's exactly what it sounds like.
Number 5, the weed whacker from the Bulbous Lagoon.
Ooh.
Mm.
Number 6, I was a teenage wear Hot Pocket. And number 7, the kite of the opera.
That sounds boring.
I wouldn't watch
it. Sure does.
Ooh, the kite's gonna get you.
Yeah.
It's coming from the ceiling. You never know.
This has been the Bloodlust Mad Libs.
I was a teenage wear Hot Pocket.
Yeah.
What a tough life to deal with your teenage years and also being a Hot Pocket.
That's true.
I feel like that is the perfect making of a hipster tattoo, like a werewolf Hot Pocket.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
You could start something.
Or a hairy feet. What was the other one that would be a good one?
I just want to see Siskel and Ebert giving a movie 2 nips up.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Titties to the sky, motherfuckers.
That's what you're going to rate things as going forward.
Oh, and the toilet seat of Frankenstein.
Yeah.
I just kept picturing green butt cheeks.
Anything that can make you call to mind green butt cheeks.
I was thinking of black light, you know.
Ew.
Right, gross.
Yeah, that's gross.
I know.
Okay, guys, so there was that. Before we talk about Possum, Kitty, you saw Destroyer yesterday, huh? Or Friday? What day?
I did. I saw Destroyer.
Karin Kusama's new movie.
Thank you.
So you said you didn't think you liked it?
I didn't like it.
Really?
I know I didn't like it now.
Oh. So,
I was really, really jazzed for it.
Yeah, we all are.
They relied too heavily on Nicole Kidman's makeup.
Oh, like
instead of her acting, it was just like, let's zoom in on her disgusting face.
They did a pretty good job with her makeup, though, didn't they?
Yeah, but it was 2 hours of staring at her face.
Really?
Ugh.
No, I mean, it was an hour of staring at her face in a 2-hour long movie.
Oh, that's
and
a lot.
It was just kind of slow, and what I wanted it to be maybe is my fault. Maybe I wanted it to be a little bit more action. But I know the invitation was slow to get going, but once it got going, I was like, hell yeah.
There's very little action in the invitation, so
right.
But
it's probably not
it
that.
It does. There's payoff in the invitation.
Yes.
And even the payoff, there's payoff in the destroyer, but it's not enough. And the movie was too long. Sebastian Stan is amazing and super hot.
Yeah. I'll just jump in and agree with that part.
What a disappointment.
I'm so sad. I wanted to come back and be like, yeah, this movie's the shit because we love her.
Right.
But it really was just a miss. And I was trying to figure out what it was, but it was the same writing people that she's worked with, like her husband and his writing partner or something, that she's worked with before. So it wasn't even that.
Really?
But it just seemed like half-baked and I don't know.
That's too bad.
I wonder if any of you see it, if you'll like it, but I don't think so.
I still want to see it. And I still want to pay to see it.
Well, like, and I still want to watch Velvet Buzzsaw, even though Young Jonas gave it, as you said, a scathing review.
Oh, yeah, guys.
Oh, yeah.
We might review Velvet Buzzsaw down the line. I'm not sure yet. But I know friend of the podcast, Young Jonah, saw it and gave it a very negative one-star review. Love to hear what you guys think of it.
Why have we never had Young Jonah on? Does he not want to play with us?
He has been on.
Does he not want to play with us?
Our American Horror Story recaps, but he has not been on the program.
Yeah. Right.
He's a busy student right now.
Yeah.
But I'm sure we could get him eventually.
Maybe when he's home for the summer, we can get him.
Like, he's in school to be legit at what we're doing.
Yeah. So we need to let him go and matriculate.
He's in school to do podcasts?
Yeah, on second thought.
No, like,
no, Young Jonah, movies. I don't want to get outshined that high.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, do you want him to show us up? Have you read his reviews?
Because
he'll show us up for sure.
Better than all, they're humbling. All of mine.
They are humbling, that's for sure. So I guess let's talk about Possum after a quick break. And again, let us know what you think of the Mad Libs, because we can go back to round tables. Anyways.
We can go back to anything.
Yeah. You want us to sing and dance? We can do that.
No.
Listen, I'm happy to sing and dance. Anytime. I'll do it right now.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
All right, guys, stay tuned.
Every hour, a podcast is hurt by lack of reviews. They suffer alone, terrified, unreviewed, waiting for help, waiting for you to help. Please say you'll be the answer to this problem. For about 1 minute of your time, you can provide joy, peace of mind, and the knowledge that others will hear this show. This is your chance to not sit by while the bloodlust suffers unreviewed. So go to iTunes, Stitcher, now, and make a difference for 5 sad, unreviewed horror fans. We're counting on you. Thank you.
Okay, guys, we're back. Let's start talking about Possum, shall we? Shall we, kitten?
Sure, we shall.
I was like, is she there?
She nodded off.
We lost her.
It was for dramatic effect.
Oh, okay.
What if I didn't answer or I said no?
Then I don't know what we would do.
Oh, yeah, that would be dramatic.
You'd have me at an impasse.
we'll do it.
Okay,
we'll
thanks.
It was released October 26th of last year in the UK and on November 2nd in the US. It was written and directed by Matthew Holness, who we know from Garth Marenghi's Dark Place.
Woohoo!
It stars Toast of London and Snuffbox.
Oh. This is his first movie.
Yes.
It stars Sean Harris, who was in the Mission Impossible most recent ones, at least. Mm-hmm. The last two, I think.
He's in Prometheus.
Ooh. He was great. Anyways. And Alan Armstrong from Sleepy Hollow.
He's been in a bunch of other stuff, but I could only really place him in that.
Yeah.
He looks familiar.
He's in all kinds of things.
Yeah. It is not rated. Has a running time of 1 hour and 25 minutes. Has an 86% on Rotten Tomatoes.
and a pretty low audience score.
Really?
39 or something.
I could see that.
Yeah.
It's not going to be for everybody.
No.
It sure isn't.
It is not going to be for everybody at all. It's pretty slow, and it doesn't have a ton of action. But goddamn, does it have some disturbing visuals.
Boy, does it ever.
Possum is the name of a puppet. A awful, horrible abomination of a puppet. And this poor guy named Philip, that is Sean Harris, he returns to town with this bag with Possum inside. And we don't see what's in the bag for a while. It takes a good amount of time before we actually see Possum in its entirety.
Right, but we're pretty sure what's in that bag ain't anything good.
There is a lot of hinting as to what's in that bag.
Yeah.
And some illustrations of what might be in that bag. And we're all anxiously waiting to see what's in there. And then when we do, boy. But anyway, he's got this thing. And it's sort of like the millstone around his neck. You know, he comes back to his hometown, which I think is Norfolk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say that correctly, I don't think, but I tried.
I think that's correct.
And the house he grew up in, where something bad happened to his parents, he's got this uncle or caretaker of some kind, Maurice, who everyone refers to as Morris in the movie the entire time, but it's Maurice in the credits, so that's what we're going
Maybe
with.
Maybe that's just how they pronounce Maurice.
I guess. Mm-hmm. But it sure as hell sounds like Morris the entire time. Anyway, that's Alan Armstrong, and he is a repulsive individual. And he just hangs out at the house and says vaguely menacing things to Philip. And Philip says vaguely menacing or angry things back to him. And meanwhile, Philip is trying to get rid of Possum. He throws Possum into a stream and tries to burn Possum and leaves him in the woods, blah, blah, blah. But Possum keeps coming back. Just good as new, just fine. So what's going on with this? That's kind of what the movie's about. The movie is about what's wrong with this guy? Why is he so squirrely? Why does he have this horrible puppet? And why can't he get rid of it? And what the hell is Maurice's problem?
Yeah.
And, yeah. It's pretty slow. It's not for everybody. It's got a very interesting score. And what did we think, guys? Just give me kind of, your overview of what you thought of it, and then we'll talk a little bit more. Kitty, why don't you start this time, huh?
Sure. I loved it.
Yay!
I loved it. It was slow, but I was intrigued the whole time. And they took long enough to, just the right amount of time to reveal Possum in its entirety, that once it happened, I had to go back and rewind and look at it again because it was so terrifying.
I can't believe you went back and looked at it again.
I had to, because I was like, that couldn't be what I actually just saw.
Yeah, right?
I want to say it's the scariest puppet I've ever seen, but it's seriously like one of the scariest things I've ever seen in a movie. And it's not just in puppets. It was so creepy.
I've been afraid to say that to you guys because I didn't want to build it up. And I'm afraid to say it to the audience because I know people always with scary things, it's sort of like a, I don't know, it's sort of like a tough thing. Like, it didn't bother me.
Well, and plus when you keep hearing, like, oh, it's the creepiest looking thing I've seen in a horror movie, like it was nightmare fuel, but you develop your own idea of what that might look like in your head. So if that, when you see it, doesn't fit that, you may be disappointed. So we're all going to say this, or three of us anyway, with hesitation a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm 100% in agreement with Kitty on this.
Because
even watching it, like I've watched it 2 times in its entirety, but technically 3, I guess, because I fell asleep the second time I watched it. And then I watched it again yesterday. And even after seeing it a couple of times, man, I still, I was still like, ugh. Even when they, like, later on in the movie when they're showing Possum, like, full on for a while, I have to, like, look away.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yes!
And you notice, like, more things. Like,
about the
way it
looks.
I don't want to talk about specific things, but yeah. It's not just a simple, puppet. It's, ugh.
Like, makes your
and
skin
puppet,
crawl.
Again, doesn't even talk about what it actually is. Yeah. But I liked the creepy book with the illustrations, like the charcoal drawings.
Very Babadooky.
Mm-hmm.
Very Babadooky.
See,
and
it's very easy to just add an E at the end of
you're right.
things
like
to Gold create Missy. Your own adjective.
I understand.
Just like to point that out.
That's fine. No judgment.
And like the story or the poem that went along with it, like that they kept like talking every once in a while, was just what like Possum with his black balloon will eat you up in bed or something.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Little Possum, black as sin.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very Babadooky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Apparently it's based on a short story by the writer.
Oh, is it?
So I want to, I just read, I was trying to find it. I couldn't find it before we recorded, but I think I'm going to try to get it.
The illustrations are cool too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if those are part of the book or not, but I'd still like to read the short story.
Yeah, for sure.
If you just want overview, I think that's it. I think it's worth watching, even if it's just to see the puppet. I think Sean Harris did a great job. I didn't even know it was the same guy from Mission Impossible. That's how different he
Yeah, his face
looks, but also he's acting weird. 100% different.
The way
like
he
he's
holds
a crazy
himself.
Bad guy in Mission Impossible.
Is he?
And he plays such a... Yeah. He's the bad guy.
I didn't know. I haven't ever seen.
I love all. I like all the Mission Impossible movies.
Is he a good bad guy?
Yeah, I think so.
Nice.
But it like it's not even the same. It doesn't even seem like the same person. He plays such a good like meek guy with like his arms just flat to his sides, yeah. like not standing up straight, keeping the bag out as far as possible from his body.
The way he shuffles around.
That was making my arm tired just watching it.
Yeah.
Like, not holding it down, like, constantly up and away. Like, man, your arm's going to be exhausted.
And that thing probably isn't light.
I wouldn't imagine so. It's heavy with dread.
Yeah.
Do you think that... Would you recommend it to only horror fans? Or do you
probably.
Think this has a wider appeal? You think probably
no.
just a niche?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so right. not even like horror fans that like went would go see like Halloween.
I feel like you'd if
have
you're
to
into
be like kind of. Right. It was really just like a will they, won't they?
Yeah.
The way Eddie filmed it, it was.
That was amazing.
Yeah, listeners, Eddie was watching this and apparently listening to Nothing Compares to You by Sinead O'Connor, or it just struck him while he was, I'm not sure.
No, it struck me. When I saw it, that song popped into my head and I was like, oh, this is happening.
We're doing it.
He sent us a little video. We are going to have to upload that somehow as well, because that was fucking hilarious. I cackled like a crazy old witch in my house alone last night when I saw that.
I'm glad.
What do you think you'd rate it, Kitty?
Screw it. I'll give it an A.
At it, girl. So, Eddie, you were not as scared, it doesn't sound like, or as repulsed by the way Possum looked as we were, huh?
No, I thought this movie was really silly.
Silly?
Like, you're silly.
Fanciful?
I just kept picturing the people writing it, like, all right, what are we going to do? Like, them just thinking up the creepiest possible puppet and just laughing their asses off about it. And like, how are we going to end this movie with this uncle? Oh, and then they do the things they do. And when they wrote that down, they laughed, I feel like. Because it's so absurd.
Well, he is a comedy guy, right?
Right. And all of his stuff, like, I've watched a lot of his things, and they've always got this weird, horrible undertone that's very specifically his.
That's true.
I don't know exactly what it is, but it's always very much the same kind of dready, what the fuck just happened feeling.
And like, and seedy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Seedy, and he's always like messing with you for, it's like his own fun.
Do you feel a little bit hurt by it?
No, I love it.
Okay, good.
I love all the
love
things
it.
He does.
It's definitely, he's got a tone, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. And I think he's a genius. All the stuff I've seen him do, I just love. And Philip reminded me, I don't know if you guys ever watched Tim and Eric, but there's a skit where Tim Heidecker is playing this very sick boy named Casey, who's always blue and sweating.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
He looks really terrible. And he's always talking about how he's so sick he feels. That's just what I kept feeling Philip was like.
Yeah, he was so sallow.
He was
sallow.
Just so awful to look at.
Yeah, sweaty and sallow and uncomfortable.
And his skin seems so, like, taut.
And waxy. And,
yeah. Like, what's happening?
Like, he always looked on the verge of passing out.
He does pass out. Yeah. Even. Yeah.
Yeah.
He did an amazing job at looking terrified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also liked how every time him and Unk went to go shoot the shit, they smoked joints.
I think those were just hand rolls. Mm-hmm.
I think sure? so.
Well, yeah. I thought he said, "Do you mind if I do a toke?" That was the first thing he said.
I don't know.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Maybe.
I hope they just hung out and were like, "You want to get weird for a minute? Be creepy to each other."
I mean, yeah,
I feel like they got weird and creepy with each other in different ways.
That oh, was yeah. weird. They got real weird with each
those
other.
Those uncomfortable conversations.
Mm-hmm.
The
candy? Only... What the fuck was with... I'm sorry, go on.
No. Yeah, I don't know what was with the candy.
Ugh.
The first time he ate the candy was the most repulsed I felt.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the only time that I was like, ugh. The rest of it, I just was kind of chuckling.
Not the hand in the mouth? That didn't bother you? That grossed me out a little bit.
No, I was laughing at that hand in the mouth. And he was rubbing his fingers on him. I was like, this is fucking gold.
You know what, Eddie? This explains something, because I've always wondered how you can think Gummo is a sweet movie. And now I understand, because you think this is, like, you laughed at this.
He thinks this is a rom-com. It's just an uncle and Philip.
This really helps me come to a better understanding of why you like Gummo.
Yeah, I really do.
You find it funny where,
like,
I'm just...
a charm... Like just something repulsed. Charming to it.
I find it sweet as well.
Oh my
I
god,
think
you're
Gummo
so
is
weird.
Funny and sweet. I know.
I can't even take it.
When he unplugs that lady on life support, God, that just warms my heart.
Gummo.
You're so weird. Along. Oh my god. So did you? You enjoyed this? You chuckled throughout.
Oh, I chuckled and I thought it was wonderful. The only thing I didn't like is. The repeated going back to the same places and just, like, putzing around.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was just a little bit too much. But the movie was short, so I'm not mad at it.
It was short.
It was a delightful romp.
Oh, man.
How unusual.
Sometimes it's like we watch different movies.
The most normal of us, but then you pull something like this out.
Sorry, friends.
It's all right.
That was where
no,
I wouldn't be able to sleep.
I enjoy it. It's a, I don't know. It's unique. Why do you guys think that there was so much repetition with him going back to those spots over and over again? Why do you think they did
well,
that?
Well, I have a theory about it, but it's going to get kind of...
spoilery?
Deep. No. No.
Let's hear it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so I was doing a deep dive on Wikipedia because I was trying to figure out, you know, where this idea came from. So the short story that he wrote was inspired by Freud's theory of the uncanny, which...
I figured it was with shocking. That fucking puppet.
Yeah.
Sorry about my friend.
Whoa. That came out of nowhere.
Excuse me.
So that's why I wrote, that's why it explains why the puppet kind of looks like Philip.
That too. Yeah.
But he also mentioned uncanny as a result of repetition, and I just copied and pasted it because I couldn't reword it any better. He includes incidents wherein one becomes lost and accidentally retraces one's steps, and instances where random numbers recur, seemingly meaningfully, but obviously not. But that uncanny is like the strangely familiar. So he ended up retracing his steps. I don't even know if he meant to do that. But I think he was just so... unhinged at that point, maybe. I don't know, but I thought that
and then
was
the doppelganger,
the uncanny part.
Yes, the idea of a doppelganger too.
There was a double and repetition. I think were the two themes that the writers decided to go with.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what I read anyway.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
There's also something to be said for being constantly revisiting the source of trauma.
Right. Yes.
You know, I mean, he's carrying around this this thing that is basically the incarnation of this traumatic incident, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess, you know, he can't stop revisiting it and revisiting mm-hmm. it, which probably is part of the reason why he keeps returning to these places.
Like poking a bruise.
Yeah.
Or picking at a scab.
Mm-hmm.
I chuckled during the fox story, and I don't think that was the intended.
You sick son of a bitch! You know, the second time I watched the movie, I fast-forwarded that. It made me so upset.
It's like, he mashed his head in it.
Oh my gosh.
Jesus.
I'm a little disturbed by that part.
Oh.
But that's okay. Oof. Foxes Everybody's are just different. So precious. They're cat dogs. It's like you couldn't get more adorable.
Mm-mm.
Exactly.
Sly bugger. Oh, man. Okay, so what'd you rate it, Eddie?
I'll give her an A. That was fine. A minus, that's better.
For the a little bit bloatedness, even though it was short.
Sure, yes. Even though Kitty made a good point for it, but...
I understand.
I didn't care for it.
When I first watched it, I felt the same way. It's like, Jesus, this was only an hour and 25 minutes.
Yeah.
It felt longer to me.
Certain parts felt
mm-hmm.
stretched.
Mm-hmm. And that's the number one criticism I've heard about it, is that people have said there's only enough material here for a short film.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could have been a short film.
It could have been.
I do want to say that the score made this.
Yeah.
Didn't it?
Holy crap.
The score was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We put down who that was, right?
Yeah.
Radiophonic Workshop.
Yeah, and I was listening to them last night. You can listen to a bunch of their stuff on YouTube and watch concerts. It's really cool. They were kind of the forerunners of electronic music. They made a lot of sounds by, you know, recording things live and then manipulating it afterwards. And so much of their stuff has been sampled in other songs, especially in electronic music. And you will hear, there's this one album I was listening to on YouTube yesterday. They made this whole like 40 some minute album of different sound effects and weird things with theremins and all kinds of different instruments that Eddie would probably know more about.
Glockenspiels.
Maybe.
I don't know, it's just a funny word.
It is a funny word. Spell it!
Can't.
Okay. But yeah, they've used...
G.
Thank you, Kitty. They've used a lot of the sounds that they've made for old science fiction shows, especially Doctor Who. You will hear lots of sounds that Radiophonic Workshop made in old Doctor Who episodes. And yeah, it totally makes it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And Matthew Holness being who he is and liking the stuff that he likes and stuff, it makes a lot of sense that he would work with them, and I think it's really cool.
He's always, all of the stuff he does always has great music in it.
Mm-hmm.
In Toast of London, they break into these song numbers that are incredible.
I've never seen that.
Well, you should watch it.
I'm gonna.
Great.
You know who else was in Dark Place? Was Alice Lowe. You might know her from Prevenge. She was also in that movie Sightseers that Ben Wheatley made.
Wheatley. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Wheatley.
Yeah. But Prevenge, I don't know if I mentioned it already on the show. I hadn't watched it when it came out. It came out in 2017, and I just watched it over the holidays, and it's really good. And she's great in it. Anyways, another reason why you should watch Dark Place. So, Jamie, you were also horrified.
I was, but, you know, delightfully horrified. Let's see, I will agree with the feeling longness in certain parts, like, that it stretched, but the more that I watched and the longer the movie went, like, I was okay with it. Because I think it just added to the whole feeling of discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
And just being generally unsettled by what you're seeing and hearing. Because, really, this movie is almost all just visual and audio. I guess that's what any movie is, but it is really just this creepy-looking thing and this horrible, like, wonderful music. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of dialogue. And what there is of dialogue, it's kind of difficult to discern what's being said.
Sometimes
from
it is.
Accents and just, like, the volume of the dialogue and the one we're watching. But I don't think you needed it. I think what they were doing with just how they had the characters interacting and what they had them doing, I think that told enough of the story on its own. They didn't even need a lot of dialogue.
And how it looked.
Yeah, I mean, it was just everything felt so gross about it and felt so grimy. And we haven't even mentioned yet the, like, underlying theme of, like, kidnapping kids and, like, sexual assault on children.
Right.
And that is prevalent through this whole thing. Mm-hmm. In a very, like, very, I don't even know the right word for it. Like, it's just not, it's very subtle, I guess, because they don't explicitly come out and talk about it. It's hinted at, and then there's imagery like him putting the bag in that, like,
yes!
collection of tree branches or whatever, where it looks like it's just spread legs.
Mm-hmm.
And then he puts the bag in it, and it's this horrible thing, like, emerging from the bag. And it's obviously,
it's
like sexual.
Scene.
Like,
yeah.
It's so awesome to watch because it's so uncomfortable and just
him
not
away
like
from
some,
that is
oh,
hilarious.
Yeah, it was perfect. It was like nothing. I mean, I had not seen anything like that before. And I immediately texted you guys and was like, well, I'm going to be having nightmares about this tonight. And I don't feel that about movies, like, ever. But this was so unsettling with that whole sexual abuse undertone and then the griminess of the house that they were staying in.
And how parts of the house are literally just, like, burned away.
Yeah.
The whole house seems like it's got this nicotine film all over it. In fact, the whole movie seems it's got, like, a nicotine
film.
Yeah,
it's just, like, this gross, grimy film to it that you don't want to touch anything. Everything's dirty. He wakes up and there are bugs crawling on his face. Like, it's just nothing
reminds
feels good.
Reminds me of my old apartment.
Lovely. How nostalgic.
How nostalgic for you.
I felt like home.
Oh, maybe that's why you appreciated it so much.
Just made me want to eat spaghetti in the bathtub.
Yup.
I mean, I'm not going to turn that down.
After my tap dancing.
But yeah, I was on board for all of it. The acting was great. What little they said, I thought, was important to the story. What you could understand of it, and the creepy poems and everything. I just think it all worked really well. I feel that this could have been successful as a short, but I also thought it was successful as an hour and 25 minute long movie.
I think it succeeded pretty well.
But I can definitely understand the argument for...
Yes.
Thinking it should have been more in the short territory.
I think if it was a short, it would have a more widespread appeal
mm-hmm.
to horror fans.
Yes.
You know, but I'm okay with it being this way.
Oh, yeah. There was just so much to look at and take in that you almost have to watch it a second or a third time.
I tell you what, it's still disturbing. I don't want to watch it enough that it's not disturbing.
Right,
though,
that it
you know?
Desensitizes you. No, I was, I'm all for this movie. I already shared it with Becky.
Nice.
I was like, you need to watch this.
Two nips up?
Oh, two nips, very enthusiastically standing up.
Yeah. Me too.
Hashtag nips up.
Nips up. I think that I like comedians when they make horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. At least those two, Jordan Peele and Matthew Holness. I like their approach. I don't know why exactly. Do you guys have any ideas of why comedians would be successful making horror?
I think comedians are often, or we see a lot of examples of, like, comedians being sort of troubled, deeply troubled people with mm-hmm. fairly dark thoughts, and their comedy is really a way for them to sort of save face and find humor in the horrible things they're thinking.
Hmm,
so maybe switching over to horror for a little bit, a la, like, Robin Williams when he was in that, what was that, photo booth
mm-hmm.
movie or whatever? Which,
I don't remember what it's called.
One hour photo.
Yeah, 1 hour photo.
I love
that
photo movie.
Booth was something else. But he was, like, very successful at playing
yeah.
an entirely unlikable creepy person.
It's true.
And
the sweet spot where comedy is born from is that place when people are just before they, you know, they want to kill themselves but don't have the will. That's the people that make the funniest stuff.
It's a fine line.
I mean, it does very much seem like that. Like, the comedy is an escape from it or just a way to sort of deal with it. But then I think we're finding that they're also delving into the horror and maybe exploring a little bit more of these horrible things that they think are horrible feelings that they have. I don't know if that's the case, but...
A lot of comedy comes from uncomfortable situations.
Yeah. Right.
So there's that.
In my head, I feel like it makes perfect sense that...
I think it does, too.
Comedy and horror would lend themselves well together.
They both also have a lot to do with timing. Mm-hmm. And I suppose if you're really good at timing, you know, in comedy, you can make that transition as far as making a movie. Plus, I feel like both of those two, if we're just talking Jordan Peele and Matthew Holness, both of them have made horror spoof type stuff. And if you spoof something, for a spoof to be really good or for satire to be really good, you have to have a really good understanding of that thing you're spoofing. So there's that too.
Oh, I absolutely think. So, I mean, for someone who's pretty much only done comedy to then do a movie like Possum, which to me is infinitely more unsettling and more of a horror movie than The Purge 4 or The Conjuring 17. I just feel like this is where let's do more of this comedian, like, comedy going into the horror realm. Even though, well, Eddie found comedy in this movie.
Yeah,
so
I didn't find a whole lot of comedy. There, I'm sure it's
apparently
there.
I didn't see it. But maybe on my, like, third watch I'd find something funny. But still, I loved it.
It's got some, I guess it does have super effective.
Maybe if you would have watched his other stuff, like that Snuffbox, and Percival, you would have gotten an idea better where he's coming from and the things he thinks are funny. And he drops some deeply disturbing, unsettling stuff in
there. Makes me want to go check out that other stuff for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely suggest to our listeners that you do check out some of his other stuff. And there weren't a ton of episodes of Dark Place. I think there were only like 4 or 5, right? But they're all on YouTube, so watch them. They're great. And they're supposed to look like that. It's not just a shitty copy. FYI.
Be forewarned.
And I think... I wonder who... The people who made Possum. And the people who operated Possum. Well done.
Oh, yes.
Christ on a crutch, man. The legs, like...
Him, like, flashing back to scenes in the house where it's a dark hallway with just, it's barely lit at the very end, and you just see
two little legs
come around. Like, oh, hey, no, nope.
No, thank you.
I wonder if this would be as disturbing to people that don't have problems with spiders.
I don't really have problems with spiders.
Really?
I have problems with spiders and puppets.
Me too, Kitty. That's why I wondered, would it only be scary to us? But I guess not.
Really not.
It was less... Yeah. It was less scary to me or unsettling to me because it was a spider, more so just because I knew what that puppet was. Like, what it looked like as a whole.
Oh,
and everything that came along with it. And these sort of repressed feelings and this trauma that's never been dealt with. And it's still this ever, this consuming all around you presence that's not leaving him. Yet he doesn't seem to really want to leave it either.
No.
He's always hesitantly leaving things and then going right back to try and find it.
And then running back to try and find him.
So... That, to me, was the creepier part of it. Not necessarily that it was spider-looking.
Oh, God.
I mean, that certainly did not help it.
It just...
A great job in the puppetry.
It was so deliberately created to make you upset.
Yeah.
You know, the spider thing works on at people on a primal level, I think. Most people, and...
Well, big, long, like, spindly legs just creeping around.
And the uncanny valley-ness of the face. That's,
You don't want to turn over in bed in the morning and see that.
Oh, Jesus.
No.
That scene in particular, Jesus, that scared me. Like, the sound in it and stuff, and how long he's staring at that face before he...
And then he just pushes it off.
Oh, God. That. Well, I guess that's what we think, guys.
Yeah.
We think you should watch it and pay for it because maybe then more will be made like it.
I would love to see more movies like this.
Me too.
Poo pits are scary.
Yeah, they are.
Or they can be.
Or they can be. So I guess we should talk about some spoilers at the end, kind of hash out what we think happened, because they're not super clear. I don't want to spoil it for you guys, so if you haven't seen it, better turn off now. Otherwise, we'll be back in a minute.
This is Sid Haig, and you're listening to The Bloodlust, or you better be. I'll come over there and put my boot all up in your ass.
All right, we're back. So my take on it was that his uncle, I don't think his uncle, like, killed his parents. I think his parents died in a fire. And maybe, like, on his birthday or something. I don't know what the significance of the balloons catching on fire were, but maybe it was something like that.
Yeah, I didn't get that one.
But he keeps trying to go into his parents' bedroom, and he doesn't want to face it. And yeah, they burned up. And his uncle took care of him, and his uncle was a killer. Or at least a something.
Yeah.
Not a good guy.
A child predator. And had kidnapped and was keeping a boy in these army barracks that were nearby. And Philip knew about it, but he didn't say anything. So Possum is kind of the manifestation of him being traumatized by his uncle, A, finding out what his uncle was doing, B, and not telling anybody. So he felt evil, and Possum was kind of his evilness at not telling, right?
Yeah, or his guilt and shame at not telling. Just this,
and his,
like,
shame at being whatever filled with by his uncle.
I think it's basically just like all of, represents all of the horrible,
his traumatic childhood.
Trauma that happened.
And I think the whole thing of him trying to go back and find it and he can't let it go is, I was reading something the other day that made me think about it, but people who are depressed or have traumas from certain things for a long time, like, sometimes don't want to lose that feeling because they don't know how to feel any way else, and it makes them feel real lost.
Sure. I mean, he seemed lost without Possum.
I mean, as soon as he threw it over the bridge, he immediately passed out. Like, it was clearly a bit much for him.
Yeah, right. If your whole life is structured around this thing, what would you do if it wasn't there anymore? That makes sense.
And there's also, like, weird implication that he maybe, like, followed in his...
It was hard to say because...
Uncle's. Right, that's what I mean. Like, it doesn't explicitly come out and say it, but it's heavily implied, where he's, like, standing outside the school, which was his school.
But his classmate was taken, so it could have been implied.
Right. Like, it's very ambiguous.
It's ambiguous.
But I kind of like that it's ambiguous because you can get something different from it each time you watch it, and it leaves you thinking about it, because despite it being able to go one of, you know, many ways, they all work. Like, one isn't really more plausible than the
other. It's not like that doesn't happen, that victims of abuse go on to abuse people.
Right.
So,
and there's the part where he's on, I didn't really understand it, but I mean, I noticed it and I liked it. In the, towards the beginning, he's on the train and he sees the boys, and he sees one of the boys is, like, drawing, and it, you can tell, like, it looks like he's drawing Possum in his book. Like, he's drawing spindly little legs.
Does it?
Yeah. Because that was
and
the first thing I noticed.
And that's why he talked to him.
And then he says something to him, and then the boy, like, turns around. He's weirded out, obviously, and walks away.
As we all would be if we saw that guy.
And then later on, you find out that boy is missing.
Right. They really want you to,
like, it was a weird connection.
Wonder. And he wonders.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, well, I am batshit nuts. Do I black out and take people?
I feel like I really enjoy movies that do that. That leave it so, that have a skillful way of leaving it an open-ended thing that has multiple possible conclusions or no conclusions at all.
I mean, we do know that his uncle took another kid and had him in there, that it was him and not Philip, but who knows what Philip did, and who knows why, what was the scandal that got him to leave wherever he was at and have to return home.
And then someone refers to him as a pervert at some point, so
yeah,
it's it's just, there are a lot of weird little clues. That's what I mean. Like, there's not a ton of dialogue, but you don't even need it. Mm-hmm. Everything that you're seeing and all the actions that people are taking tell, like, a much richer story than...
And even just the way it looks and sounds.
If people were just dumping exposition on you by having a conversation about something.
Yeah. So.
The intro when he's on the train and he just goes up to that kid and he's like, what were you drawing?
Yeah.
And then follows him real weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like immediately like, oh, you're a predator.
Yeah. That's what you think at the beginning at least.
Chris Hansen's coming for you.
Yeah. Why don't you have a seat?
Uh-huh.
Why don't you sit down? Why don't you have a seat?
Yeah. Who are you here visiting?
Oh, Lord. Yeah. And he could have just been talking to the kid about drawing because he liked to draw.
Yes, but there definitely is a shot where it looks like the kid is drawing possum.
Creepy. Creepy!
And so that's what I thought drew his attention to him in the first place, or almost like possum was telling him,
maybe,
go to this kid. Like,
do you think that possum is named possum because of the fox? Thinking the fox was dead? Like playing possum?
I think that makes the most sense.
Because otherwise there's no reason for it.
Right.
It's got kind of a possum body. It's a possum body, human head.
I thought the body kind of looked like a rib cage or something. Ooh,
it was not great.
I was trying not to look at its body.
Its body is the worst part.
And it creeps me out.
Its thorax.
Oh, yeah. When he's punching it. When he flips out and starts beating it.
Why wouldn't you stomp on its head, you fool?
I know, that's what I was thinking. I was like, finally, he's punching and destroying that awful face. And then I'm like, you're punching
the
cloth body?
I'm going to get you right in the bread basket.
Yeah. That just shows he didn't really want to destroy it. He hated it, but he didn't want it gone.
So what's the significance of the fox story?
For laughs, obviously.
You sick fuck.
It's for comedic relief.
And what about the candies? Did he drug Philip with those candies?
I think so.
Or did he give Philip those candies as a reward for, keeping his mouth shut?
Maybe there were druggied ones and not drugged ones. He was just an awful man.
He was an awful, disgusting man.
With horribly yellow teeth. Well,
he sure smokes, though.
That's true. That's true.
Hilarious, all of it.
All of it. Just a gay romp. Anything else that you guys want to add that we didn't talk about?
I don't think so.
No, I think I'm excited to watch it again.
Yeah.
I'll add that.
Watch it with your mom. She'll love it.
Oh, yeah.
I will say that I tried to watch it again last week, and I was dozing off, and I watched it on my laptop because I couldn't get it to play through my Apple TV. And so I'm dozing in my bedroom with this, like, right on my chest, like a couple inches away from my face. And I would wake up to the, like, stings and the crazy music. And then I'd open my eyes and there's possum. And I kept startling the shit out of myself.
That'd have been funny.
So I don't recommend that you do that. Because it's very much a loud, quiet kind of movie. And you gotta keep it up pretty loud because you can't hear what the hell they're saying because Philip mumbles.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So be careful. Don't blow your speakers out.
But it's a good
one. Don't do it.
So definitely check it out.
You could probably benefit from some closed captions.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't have hurt. Wouldn't have hurt at all.
No. Okay, so we hope you watch it and that you like it as much as we did. Two nips way up. From all of us. So, it is now Women in Horror Month. And sorry we didn't start off with a lady-made film, but our next one's going to be...
In fact, I don't think there are any women at all in it.
There's not a single
there's
woman.
There's a mom
movie.
At the park that he creeps
is there?
Out. Yes.
Oh, okay.
When
okay.
he has the possum
it's a,
outside
like,
of the bag.
A,
oh, yeah.
Mom and a dad in a stroller.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's
there
it.
Is one
okay,
woman.
One.
So that's our way of celebrating Women in
Fine.
Horror Month.
There,
the next three
go,
movies
ladies.
Will be made by men.
That's us right. putting our toe into.
Dipping our toe in, yeah. It's the best we can get right now, ladies.
Uncle Maurice would like to dip his toes
Stop
into
it.
The
You like me fingers, boy.
Ew.
No.
Him pulling his pants out and spanking his ass made me laugh. So good.
Oh, I love you, Eddie.
Yep. That's great.
So Braid is what we're going to do next. Another Madeline Brewer-led movie. I forget the name of the lady. Kitty, you're the fastest at checking. Will you get her name for me, please?
The lady who made it?
Yes. Yeah.
Hold, please.
Thank you. Oh, Jamie's challenged. She's going to check. No?
No, I'm not. I thought you just said Jamie's challenged.
I did.
Because yes.
So yeah, we're going to be watching Braid. It looks really interesting and fun. And I hope it's good. I've heard good things so far. I don't think I mentioned Possum is available on demand. You've got to pay for it, but it's wherever you can stream things. And same thing with Braid. Sorry to make you pay, but you know, filmmakers like these, they deserve it. They deserve your money.
I don't mind paying
Braid when it's isn't someone even coming that I want to
keep doing. What?
I can't even find it. It's not even in Madeline Brewer's Wikipedia page.
What?
All okay, right, got it. I'm there.
Okay. What's her name?
Mitzi Payrone.
Of course it is.
Mitzi. Mitzi Payrone.
Yes.
Is the lady who made it. And she does have a name like a small, floofy dog, but I'm sure she's does.
My grandma used to have a cat named Mitzi.
Aw, Mitzi.
Love Mitzi.
Mitzi Gaynor. Well, I'm excited to see it. Join us back in a couple weeks to talk about it. Don't forget to tell your friends to listen and to give us a rating and a review on iTunes or wherever if you feel so inclined. It's supposed to help in some way. It helps our self-esteem. I know that.
Mine don't need no help.
No. Jamie's fine.
I think most of ours don't need any help.
Oh. Well, I like it. My self-worth hinges on it. Okay, guys. We'll talk to you next time. Until then, I have been Amy.
I'm Jamie.
Karen.
Edward.
Good night. Beware of Possum. He'll eat you in your bed.
You didn't say we respect you.
I didn't feel so much respect today.
No.
Oh,
just kidding. Just kidding, listeners.
If you're still listening, we respect
you. I hold you in high regard.